Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, so only two things could bring me to Atlanta: Nick Cannon and Wildin' Out, and you.
That's right.
Yo, there's a lot going on out here.
It seemed like that. I guess being in Atlanta my whole life, pretty much, you know, it seems like it's normal, but it's not normal. The pandemic kind of, you know, shifted things around. You got a lot of out of towners that's here now in the city. Even the nightlife is a little bit different, yeah. You know what I mean? Because it's like everybody's trying to make their bucks. So you got all the New York promoters coming down here, the New York DJs coming down here now. So it's kind of mixed. It's like Atlanta's now a big melting pot, but it's a little turned up as usual. I mean, more than it has been.
But one of the things that I guess was surprising to me, like on the outside, the press about Atlanta is that COVID doesn't exist here because nobody's wearing masks. Whereas like restaurants, the hotels and stuff, they still are wearing masks. They're making you wear the mask. It's the nightlife scene where it's very much the same.
Yeah, I mean, the nightlife is the same in Atlanta. When I go out, I got my mask on.
Yeah.
But I'm like the only person in that motherfucker with my mask on.
Right.
But yeah, we can dine inside. We've been dining inside for, a year now. Because COVID hit in March. So yeah, we've been open pretty much. Our clubs, we probably shut down maybe for a couple weeks. And then it just got popping.
Wait, but why are you wearing your mask in Atlanta, but you went to Houston, you had that big didn't you have a festival or something that you were headlining or something?
Yeah. Well, to tell you the truth, I did wear my mask.
Right.
I wore my mask.
So for people not watching, you went to Houston.
Yeah.
A clip was posted online where you were performing that it ended up not even being your party, but you took all the heat. The mayor came and attacked you.
Right on.
But yet his clubs are open and people are not wearing masks.
Yeah. And then when I left Houston, I got the city back shut down. So everybody was like a little upset, but you know, I just realized, you know, waking up that next morning in Houston, I was, you know, all my boys, they was hitting me like, yo bro, you all on the news, you number one trending topic on Twitter, everybody's just, you know, talking about this Houston thing. And I'm like, what Houston thing? I'm confused, because to me, you know, all I did was I just did a verse. You know, I took my mask off real quick, did a verse.
That one verse shut the whole city down.
And I did it.
Wait, but you didn't post that it was Meek's party. I think did you?
Nah.
Because the way I found out,
I went.
The way I found out, fans were online saying that wasn't even his party. That was Meek Mill's party.
Right on.
And then Meek just kind of like dodged it. He didn't want none of that smoke.
Meek definitely was very smart that night. You know. Because, you know, I was the dumb one that got on the mic.
Right.
You know, and I just left Houston recently. Mm-hmm. And, you know, me and Jay Prince Jr., we was laughing. He was like, see, bro, you know, you want to be the life of the party. You want to be the face. You want to make sure that they see you. So there you go.
Right.
We let you be the dummy and you just took all the heat.
But did you feel it was unfair?
I mean, you could view it that way. But for me, I understood, though. Because, you know, when I was talking to... I think I was talking to Jermaine Dupri, and I was like, yo, like, I don't understand. He's like, yo, you need to understand who you are. Like, you know, your internet presence, your name, as far as a worldwide scale, like, motherfucker, your name is probably the most popular. And it's easy to attach you to that because they know it's going to go viral. It's going to be a big story. It's going to be something. So you just have to understand that.
Now, the thing that you and I have talked about a couple of times is, like, I feel like until recent, I mean, you get your flowers. Like, you've contributed a lot to the culture, music-wise, television-wise, Mr. B, you know, Mr. 106 and Park. I mean, like, all that, right?
Right.
But then quickly, I think people will make jokes or, you know, talk shit about you online.
Yeah, yeah.
When something like this happens, how did that happen? and how do people forget your contribution to the culture, and how do you handle it?
For me, I think it's more of like self-reflection. You got to really understand and you know, take back and look at your own actions. A lot of things, I put it on myself. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I didn't, like, come on, you bad. Why would you lie about a plane?
The Bad Wild Challenge. We talked about that last time you were here.
Right? So it's like, why would you do that?
Right.
When you been on jets before, when you can go get one, you're bad.
Right.
Why do that? That was self-inflicted. Mm-hmm. I brought that on to myself.
But is that where it started? Is that where the trolling started?
I believe so. Mm-hmm. You know, I believe so. But once again, I brought that on myself. Recently, me going to Miami for New Year's.
The boat.
On the yacht, right?
Right. Well, there was a yacht, and then there was the low boat.
Right. So I told you I just left Houston, so I was with Quavo, and Quavo passed me on his yacht. So me and Drake, me, Drizzy, and Quavo, we in Houston at the bar, we talking, and Quavo was just leaned in, and he said, man, they gonna stop playing with my boy, man. Man, yo, Drizzy, I passed him on my shit. Motherfucker had a cruise ship with about 50 motherfucking girls in that. I can't make this shit up. So all that shit they talking about, that motherfucker bow boat had a garage underneath that motherfucker with the speedboat and jet ski. So, and everybody knows, if you rent a 100-footer or bigger, it comes with jet skis. It, right. You know, some come with a helicopter pad, and it does come with an additional speedboat or whatever you want to call it that allows you to go pick up guests. Because the boat's so damn big, you can't just dock it everywhere.
So that little boat was a part of the bigger boat.
There you go.
Okay.
And so it was super.
But did you shoot?
My manager shot that.
Okay, you shot it and you put it out.
Yeah, because my manager was on top.
You put it out as a joke.
No, I put it out because
you just went to go pick some girls up.
No, those girls are already on the yacht with us.
Okay.
So this is the story.
But did you do it knowing like, oh, I'm not trolling?
No.
I'm just putting in
no,
a video. Okay.
No, not at all. Okay. I'm living my life. I'm excited. I'm tipsy. I'm drunk. I'm on Deleon tequila. I got some of the baddest of the baddest with me, and we just living it up. So long story short, it was fucked up, but we were docked that whole day, right? The yacht could not move. It was windy as hell in Miami. We're still talking top of January. So, you know, the captain felt bad, so we said, listen, I can take out the speedboat. We can give y'all a little ride around that. Bring out the jet skis. That's safe enough for me to get you guys around. Mm-hmm. Cool. We load up. I went on Instagram Live, too. And that's what's so dumb. Like, I don't like to use the word dumb, but that's what's so ignorant about the internet. That's why we don't get caught up in it, is because I know my truth, and only dummies are going to see certain things that they want to see. Like, everybody saw me go live.
But then when you play into it by having to respond to it, it's like you fan the flame. And
yeah,
you know?
I never responded to it. It's my first time ever really speaking on it, because I felt like, from my point of view, I'm like, well, it's just a bunch of motherfuckers that can't afford a 100-footer yacht. So this is just some rich shit that you just don't understand. Like, this is, motherfuckers know, we not just taking out no little ass boat. Like, that ain't even a boat.
Yeah.
Right? Everybody know you get a 100-footer, jet skis come with it, another boat comes with it. And it was just safe enough. Captain felt like it was safe enough for us to take that out. And I wanted to,
So the bigger yacht you were on was the yacht with Drake and Quavo. You were all
together? No. It was just me and you know, my close friends and a whole bunch of girls. But when I was on mine, Quavo was selling by on his. Mm-hmm. So we was waving each other down. He just kept going. But my boat was too hot.
Right.
I'm gonna be honest, my shit was hot.
So well, he's single now from Saweetie, so maybe he wish he...
Yeah, but that was then, though.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So my man played it smart. He said, bow, and then his boat kept going. Uh-huh. But yeah, he was like, yeah, I seen it. Fat Joe saw me. The boat was docked right in front of Liv. I was docked directly in front of the Fountain Blue, and I was outside all day on the nose of the boat. So everybody saw me. So Fat Joe even saw me, pulled up, honked the horn. He was on the other side of the street and did a U-turn and pulled up on me real quick. I ran down off the yacht, pulled up on him, and then, and that's online too for people that, you know, want to do their research.
People online don't research.
No, they do. They research what they want to research. So
that's true.
Fat Joe even told the story, like, yo, I passed by, my boat was fucking crazy, and I pulled up, came down and said, what's up, and he had to keep it moving because he was at the light, but.
So when you look at what happens online when people troll you, and then you see like Tekashi 6ix9ine and the perceived success he got, why do you think somebody that does the stunts that he does, and we know they're stunts, get praised for what he's doing, but then somebody who's important to the culture and that's contributed much legit success in it is trolled?
It's funny to me because me being me, and I can only speak from my point of view, is I'm really not trying to troll. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm really just living my life, and I'm not thinking.
No, not you. I'm saying you'll be trolled for
nothing. Yeah.
But then somebody like him who's doing things to troll gets celebrated.
I think for him, it might just work for him. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, that's how he came into the game. I think his fans buy into that. And, you know, everybody has their own way of how they get down what they get down. You know what I mean? So it just fits his brand. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's almost as if he has to continue to do it because his fans, that's how they see him. That's what they want. You know what I mean? It's almost like he can never switch his pitch and clean up, because then it almost in some ways kills the character. Mm-hmm.
So we're here in Atlanta. One of the things that popped up for me that really was shocking, because I don't really follow a lot of the new artists as much. I mean, we follow them on Hollywood Unlocked when they do stuff, but King Von got killed here.
Devastated.
I mean, and I didn't even know the kid. I wasn't familiar with his music, but as I've been looking into him more and just kind of seeing, like, you know, Lil Durk putting him on and taking somebody out of the hood and really wanting to put them in this position to win, for him to come to Atlanta and what happened, what did you think about that?
Well, first off, I send my condolences out, you know, to his family. I mean, that was a tough loss. You know, that was a young artist who I was definitely vibing with, who I liked. Even before the world really started knowing about him. And Von, to me, his best work comes from when he tells these stories. Mm-hmm. And it's so dope, you know, because you can actually close your eyes and visualize. You can reenact this stuff, right? So that, you know, to see him leave the earth so soon is tragic. You know what I mean? Because he was right there. Mm-hmm. He was right there. He was about to hit his big break. His album just came out. And, you know, it's just unfortunate. You know what I mean? And I just think, you know, a lot of labels are just investing in artists and without really knowing about the artist. That's mm-hmm. how I feel. Mm-hmm. You know, you see a lot of these guys are
meaning
really,
like, you don't know their current situation.
Exactly. And you know, that's why when they get signed, you see them have legal issues or they go to jail. And you really have to differ the street life and the music business. You know what I'm saying? They just don't mix. And we've seen that happen over time and over how many years now in hip hop? We've lost so many greats. But now we still losing them at a young age. So we just got to get better and differ what type of life you're trying to live.
But where do you think Tekashi falls in the midst of all that? Rap star, pop star, what is he? Because what he's done with King Von and how he's just like continued the disrespect towards Durk, his hood, his family, that's like beyond trolling at this point. Like, I said to somebody recently, I've been through the era of watching Tupac die and Biggie die, and I remember how big that was, you know? Not just to the culture, but to me as a person who looked at these artists as, like, godlike characters. To then have somebody troll their deaths would be crazy.
Yeah. It's tough. You know, it's definitely tough. But how I would view him as an artist, you know, he's almost like a rock star. You know, I mean, you know, when I look at him as the artist, right? Because, you know, what he does in his personal life is what he does in his personal life. But when I look at Tekashi 6ix9ine, I look at the artist.
It's interesting. I think you're the first person I've talked to who's been able to separate the person from the
music. Absolutely. Because if you don't know somebody, you know, I'm not the type of person that jumps on ways where, you know, if everybody want to say this about somebody and then I'm supposed to come along and say it. You know, we know the story, we see what it is, that's what it is, cool. But that's not my business. But, you know, the music is something separate. You know, I do that with a lot of artists. You know, you might judge a person based off of what they've done in their personal life, but it doesn't take away from their greatness as an artist. Mm-hmm. It's two different things. You know, we might not all agree with, you know, and I'm sure we all don't agree with what happened to, you know, R. Kelly, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, do I still listen to his music at times? The artist, yes, I do. It's great music, right? But I just know how to defer. The person can judge you like that.
Damn,
or
why you throw R. Kelly out there? That makes it a little bit more. Well, because you
the
also.
Music is. I mean, I got number one record with him. But besides that, I've always been the type of person to. As the human being, that's not my business. I'm not about to.
But R. Kelly, I mean, I don't know about you. I saw the tape. You know what I mean?
But you know what I mean? Like, still, like, I'm not saying, like, I support dude, But
you're not putting any bail money up.
No. Okay. Not at all. But when
no
I'm
visits,
kicking it with
not even a visit, a letter.
No comment.
Okay.
But
you saw, you went visit him.
No comment. No.
Wait a
I
minute.
Not.
No. If you saw R. Kelly in prison, I need to know. Listen, does he shave?
Listen, I'm sure Hollywood Unlocked would know.
Oh,
y'all follow me everywhere. Remember
we do. I called you and told you you was in Houston.
Exactly. But I just always been the type of person to defer entertainment and what you do in your real life, because mm-hmm. everybody has problems. Everybody got their issues, right? But when you talk about a talented, like for instance, a good friend of mine, Antonio Brown, good friend of mine, right?
The
football
player.
Player,
okay.
Good friend of mine, love him to death. But he's so great at what he does that it's almost like, because someone is so great, we all want to be great, and sometimes you just need greatness yeah. to be a part of some shit.
Yeah, yeah.
So with that being said, I never even looked at the personal shit. It's like, damn, I can only see like the player. That's not my business. I never be the type of person to dab in somebody's business.
But with Antonio Brown, I will say it again, for the record, I don't follow sports. I don't even, I know yeah. he plays football.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's okay. my guy. Had a little.
Football's the Super Bowl, not
yeah,
the,
yeah,
okay,
yeah,
okay. I see, I know that.
Yeah, but
that's about the extent of it. But with him, I kind of feel like, wasn't that a campaign to try to destroy a black man, though? I mean, like, his stuff wasn't as egregious as an R. Kelly or the yeah. allegations, right?
Yeah, but some people could look at it that way. You know what I mean? You can. But like I said, it just, and this is something that's been going on in music, right, throughout years. Like, you see artists getting certain situations. And we always say, damn, that's something, that's fucked up. They did that, blah, blah, blah. Damn, that music is still good, mm-hmm. though. So it's like, we don't agree what goes on, absolutely, but when a person getting behind that microphone and getting to singing them songs that we love and we grew up with, it's hard to take that. It's hard to take that piece back.
All right, so let's go there. Okay, so, you know, with all the allegations going on with him and Raz B and him saying that Raz is lying, Raz being very descriptive of how he's been molested, allegedly molested by him. What do you think? Can we separate the art from the person in that situation?
That's something totally different. That's something totally different.
Right? How? There. And the reason why I asked this, to be clear, like, you were around Omarion the whole millennial yeah, tour, that, the, you know, you guys were close.
The reason why I could say that that's different is because we're talking like legacy shit. You know, we're talking about artists that really like sustain something, and you know what I mean? Really, we already consider legends, right?
The R. Kellys.
Yeah, like, regardless of, you know, everything that he's done, there's a lot of people that still feel like, dude, is the greatest R&B singer of all time.
Arguably, is.
Right? So, you know, when you look at a lot of our artists that have, you know, went through some ups and some downs, you know, even we could take it back to the late, great James Brown, it still doesn't, like, yeah, well, but he's still the godfather of soul. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We ain't gonna see it ever in life again, and that's just what it is, right?
Right, right.
And that's why I say that's different. I think the wrongdoing, you know, on the same platform, right? Mm-hmm. Wrong is wrong, but I don't think dude really did a lot for the culture like that, mm-hmm. for people to really
be celebrated.
Care on it. Yeah. There you go.
That's a good answer. Okay, so when, let me ask you, when you were around, you didn't see anything?
Nah, hell nah, nah. Because, you know, on the Scream Tour, you know, I had my crew, they had theirs. And like I said, I never really was the type of cat to really, you know, I've always been like a standoffish type of dude, really. Like, even to this day, I'm still like
you're
that.
You're tucked away.
Yeah, like, you know.
You're not mixy like that.
Nah. I got to know for a fact you rock with me. Like, cats can be like, yo, so-and-so having a party tonight. And I'm like, I never met him before. Like, I don't know. I'm mm-hmm. just, you know, my anxiety kicking in. I don't know.
Why is that? Trust issues or?
I don't even think it's that. I just think it's, you know, I'm just comfortable what I'm comfortable with. You know, I just don't believe on, you know, making a lot of new friends, adding new people in my life. Like, I'm mm-hmm. comfortable with, you know, my celeb partners, who I do say is, you know, who I feel are some of the realest cats in the game, mm-hmm. right? And you know, a lot of these cats can envy too. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of these cats can envy too, whether if it's, oh, I heard he got this girl, and you know, girls talk, or maybe did.
Well, Soulja Boy just took a shot at you too.
But that's my dog. No,
but why he take a shot at
that's
you?
That's my dog. He didn't take a shot.
So
he
well, didn't take a shot. Look, I'm not the
that's
one.
My,
to be,
that's my.
I'm not the one to be messy. I have a messy job.
That's
okay.
That's
so
my dog.
You were recently hanging out with Drizzy.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I knew Drake when the motherfucker didn't have no money. Now he's Drake. You know, I love you, Drake. But
it's my dog.
He's probably one of the most. he's probably one of the few people I'm the most proud of because I've seen his hustle.
Right on.
I've seen him, like we saw you, I saw you from the outside because I didn't know you from a little kid, literally to where you are. And then I saw Drake from like a broke nigga at Burger King to where he is now. but I saw you guys recently hanging out. What I really loved about that though was I love when black men can give other black men their flowers publicly. Yeah. And he basically said, you paved the way for him. And then Soulja Boy couldn't wait to just fly in on that super cape and just take a dig at your moment. Like, what was that?
Oh, man. Well, first off,
don't give me PC now either.
No, you know I'm not. But you know, Soulja, that's my dog, man. You know, look, when I posted that video, the clip of me and Drizzy on my Twitter, Soulja actually liked it. Mm-hmm. You know, so
then he thought about it and said, that should have been me.
It's like understanding who your boys are, right? With Soulja, I'm always considered my little brother. We went through our little whatever years ago, but we currently on tour right now with the Millennium Tour. He's on tour with me and Omarion. So, you know, if it was like that, he would have called me. We talk. You know what I mean? It's nothing for him to call me. But I didn't take it like that.
But he didn't take a shot at you, but him taking a shot at Drake when Drake is praising you is pretty much hating.
I mean,
you didn't call him like, what was that about?
Nah, not at all. How I looked at it? I looked at it like the shit that I've been wanting and fighting for so long for me, for cats to start playing with my legacy and my name, has finally happened without me having to really ask for it. I just felt that, you know, Soulja wants, he wants his flowers. You know what I'm saying? The same way how I'm getting mine now, and I feel like, you know, when you saw me with Drizzy and he said what he said. Earlier on Clubhouse, my first time going to Clubhouse, when they had this welcome bow party and all the love, and then it started trending on Twitter. I was number one trending top. Everybody just, you know what I mean? It's just, I don't know. It's just a feeling that you want, but you don't really have to go ask for it. You know, I never asked for it. I wanted it bad. Like, stop playing with me. You know, that's how I felt behind closed doors was, stop playing with me. Like, y'all know what I've done. I've known what I've done.
Yeah.
And then it just gradually just happened like that. Like, I had people hit me when I was in Houston saying, Bow, if you Drake and Migos, y'all all down in Houston kicking out, come ain't no photos. And I'm like, because now ain't the time for that. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. We really enjoying our off time. We really kicking it. We getting, you know, better acquainted with one another. And we really just, it's a camaraderie going on right now. Mm-hmm. Couple shots. It was Drizzy who pulled out his phone. Like, nah, we need to get this moment. You know what I'm saying? And
but that's because most people are living for social media. They're not really living.
Exactly. But I understand what that feels like. And I'll do it right here. You know, I feel like Soulja definitely changed the game for hip hop. You know, from a viral level, from social media, from YouTube. I mean, I'll say it right now. The first video camera I ever had was a flip video. Mm-hmm. You know, little flip joints had the USB on the side. Because I was trying to keep pace with the new wave of how we supposed to put out our music videos. Like, he started that. Mm-hmm. He got that. You know what I mean? And I feel like anytime you come into hip hop and you start something and it's original and everybody has to follow, I mean, that's a culture shifter. Right. And now look at where we are now, 10, 11 years later, everybody has a photographer following them around 24/7. Everyone's doing vlogs. Everyone's trying to go viral. I mean, Soulja, he created that lane. He was the first big digital internet sensation that we saw.
I get that. I give him one thing I've learned, because I look at a Charlamagne or a Joe Budden or an Ebro or a Howard Stern and be like, what's the difference? Other than I'm gay, I can talk to everybody in a way they can't. You know, I may not get my flowers the way that they are now, but I don't have to take their flowers to get mine.
I see that.
And I feel like Beyonce on one of her first world tours, she mixed Soulja Boy's song into her performance.
Yeah.
That's your flowers. That's your flowers.
But you know what though, Jay?
No, but see, you being PC.
because Jay, look, it took me up until this point to finally understand this ain't what legends do. Bow. We don't calculate your moves. Look at the Jay-Z, look at the, but you gotta calculate your moves. If people are calling me a GOAT for the era or value a legend, I gotta walk, move, talk like one.
Yeah.
It's almost like another job to uphold. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But it feels good knowing that. Like, it felt good knowing that, you know, one of the hottest dudes doing it, or if not the hottest doing it.
Yeah.
really fuck with me like that.
Right.
Like, that gives you, oh, damn. Let me go ahead and.
Did you go in the bathroom and say, "Ooh, I can't wait till these bitches eat that"?
Nah.
Now.
Nah.
Because I mean, when I get validation, I'm like, "Ooh, I got to write the list of all the bitches I need to make sure my foo-foo page sends it to, so they see it."
It was just dope, just to have that camaraderie though, because you don't get that amongst your peers. You know, we're always, you know, nowadays you look on the internet, you see this person tearing this person down, and vice versa, right? Everybody. Beefing with everybody, and that's the first time we really just kicked it on some grown shit. Mm-hmm. At the bar, posted up, me, Drizzy, Quavo, just chilling, like just not even talking about business, but just cooling it as men and really just getting a chance to know each other.
When men do get together, you guys talk about women. Did Quavo tell you he was gonna dump Saweetie like that?
Nah, there was no conversations like that.
Oh, damn.
Our conversations was more of on some, you know, some boss shit. You know, just chopping up on some
I won't lie. I was happy to see Drake do that. You know what I mean? Because I do feel like, even from our conversations, you know, I know your contribution. You know what I mean? I know. Even when I posted my video with Beyonce, like, I'm in the room with Beyonce. I'm talking to Beyonce. Right. I'm having a moment where I post the video, but y'all edit and make it look like she's running from me. You know? So they took that one moment. But I learned how the internet plays around. Like,
that's
there's a lot of unhappy people that
want you to
be unhappy.
Bro. Yes, they do. But, you know, that's what I go back on the soldier thing. I totally get it. When you think the way we hustle and the way we got to move and the way we have to promote now, He was the first person that I seen with my eyes who utilized the internet and really made it what it was, running around with a cameraman. It made me go get a cameraman. Right. I'm like, damn, I got to empty out more cash on a day-to-day. I got to keep up. How is he dropping all this content?
I got one, too.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm like, motherfuckers dropping content.
Thank you, Soulja. I'm giving you your flowers
right now.
I got a cameraman because of you. All right, so when you you talked about Clubhouse, I remember when you had the welcome party, I came into that room. Sure. In fact, it was so packed, I couldn't get in. I had to text you on the side.
Somebody
put me in the room. And you were having a serious conversation with Connie Orlando, who's one of the executives over at BET.
Correct.
Part of Viacom. I recently left Viacom because I felt like they had lost their direction and really creating culturally conscious content with people who have their fingers on the pulse of the culture, like a me or you.
Correct.
You were having a really honest conversation with her that I didn't expect a BET to have in public. You know what I mean? Because, like, we know we don't argue in front of company. We don't talk about our shit.
Right.
And I really respected how you navigated this conversation where you got Connie, and I love Connie Orlando.
Absolutely.
To be very open and honest about where they may fall short.
Right.
I've always said that BET should be the place where the culture really thrives.
Absolutely.
But it can't be driven by the fear of Bible thumpers showing up to shut down your network because it doesn't align with their Christian views or something.
You got it.
You were having this conversation with her, and then now out of that, there's been press that you're going to be doing something with them.
So the whole BET situation jumped off just like this. You know, most of my ideas start when I'm waking up in the morning. It's a weird-ass thing. I don't know why. It's like, you know, as soon as you wake up, my brain just gets to moving. And the first thing that came to my mind was BET. BET, right?
And the day of your welcome party?
No, the welcome party was first on Clubhouse. This happened second.
Okay, okay.
So I'm like, man, you know, I tweeted something out and it went crazy on Twitter and everyone was agreeing. And I was like, man, and it reached to BET. And then when I got
on Clubhouse.
What'd you say? I said, you know, I missed the BET that I grew up on. The BET that was really in tune to the culture, very important to the culture. And then I tweeted, when has it been cool for us to say, I ain't watched it in a year and a half?
Damn.
Like, these are people that are close to me, my peers, saying this, like, oh, well, Bow, I haven't watched it since you hosted it last. And I'm like, well, I understand why, because there's no content on there for us. And when I thought about that, I'm like, man, that's really an issue. Like, that's a problem for people to be saying that. Like, it wasn't cool when I came in the game to say that about BET, because BET was that key for me. It made me. I don't think I would have been the artist that I am today if it wasn't for BET, right? Mm-hmm. So BET always holds this special place in my heart closely. Mm-hmm. And if no one's going to do anything about it, why are we about to let something so iconic just die, mm-hmm. right? BET to me is like a precious rose. We got to water it, make sure it's straight, it's getting the right seeds and all that. So I said, well, if no one's going to do it, it's time for me to boss up and do it. And it just played into the whole me getting my flowers now, me becoming, oh, he's the young goat for our generation. Our Bow's the legend. So it's time for me to put my big boy pants on and really, you know, walk the walk. Mm-hmm. And I reached out and we connected the dots. We hopped on the Clubhouse. That's where we started from. Got you in on there. And you said a couple of things that was key. And pretty much just they needed to hear that from the people that are outside
of the building. Bubble. Yeah.
There you go. They need to hear that because we are the people that's tuned in. We're the culture changers and shifters. They need to hear that because, you know, you get in the office, you be up there for so long, you really ain't in the clubs. You're not tapped in. And that's okay. We understand that. But you need to have something that's keeping you tapped in. So it really bothered me more on a passionate level. Mm-hmm. And from the Clubhouse conversation, it, you know, Connie kept her word and said, well, from here on, we need to build and let's get this thing going. Mm-hmm. And that's what we did. And we've been having some great talks since then. And things are moving forward. So we're looking to do something very special this year, 2021.
So when I left Viacom, I had said something in an interview with Black Enterprise where I said, you know, like, Black Lives Matter, Black Brands Matter, and investing in Black, buying Black is hot right now. Like, with the whole Black Lives Matter movement, this is the right time for Black people to guilt white people into shit.
Absolutely.
And Black ownership being important, too. Do you, like, now I've been kind of saying this thing where, like, I feel like they need to give us more ownership. When Bob Johnson owned it, it was Black owned from the top to the bottom.
Right.
Now there has been a shift where you have Chris, who's a white man. You have, you know, it's under the veil of Viacom where these are white people that own the Black network for all of us Black people to thrive on. How do we get back to ownership of our own shit and invest in our own shit? Like, why do we have a Clubhouse that's not owned by Black people? Why don't we have our own Clubhouse?
I mean, that's a good question. I mean, that definitely is a good question. And I think that we're getting better with it, though. I think that we're definitely getting better with it. And we're getting smart with it, too. And, you know, that's just how I feel. You look at cats that's really coming out from their mom's, you know, their mom's basement or wherever they're living at with mom and, you know, learning how to do all of this stuff. And the resources are there. The resources are there. And I want to say this, even, you know, not even just in the music game, but even in business. Like I mentioned, my man Larry Morrow, Black business owner in New Orleans, has his own restaurant. Everything in Atlanta, pretty much, some of the best restaurants in this city, Black owned, right? And I think that
Lemuel Plummer with Zeus Network.
You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, you know, it is understanding our power. It is understanding that we are the culture. It's us. We shift and shape everything that goes on. I'm in STK having a meeting dinner with my lawyer. We're just chopping it up, just, you know, just a get together. And I'm hearing every trap rapper in STK. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, okay. So I think.
Yeah, but sometimes it'd be the restaurants we can't get in, but when you get in, we're making it hot. We're the hot sauce.
True. Like, but and then that's why you get some of these rappers that say, okay, then fuck it. You know, I want me here, I'm gonna go buy my own shit and make my own restaurant, which they do. 2 Chainz, Black owner. Candy Burrs, Black owner. Her own restaurant. James Harden in Houston, 13, Black owned restaurant. You know what I'm saying? So trust me, it's getting better and we're getting smarter too. It's not all about buying the cars, buying the jewelry, it's about investing. And it's about, like you said, it's about ownership. It's about owning things, taking back our shit and, you know, doing what we're supposed to be doing.
See, and one of the things I love about you as a parent, too, I saw, like, when you had flown to L.A. to have lunch or something with daughter.
Oh, my God.
Who, by the way, is a star.
Yeah,
who, by the way, I'm going to say, I don't know why she's not on Disney yet. I'm a manifester, so when some shit come out, I just want y'all to know. She has the personality.
She's done 2 big things. Since COVID.
But is it out yet?
No, but they're coming.
Okay.
With 2 big.
So she'll be networks. On Disney or she'll be on Nick or something like that. Because she clearly has a talent. She's pretty and she's smart and she's savvy and all that.
Yeah.
Okay. So when you look at her though, and I know, congratulations, you just had another kid.
Yeah.
When you look at your kids and how you're raising them, are you, and she now clearly has talent. She's going to end up following in your footsteps.
Absolutely.
What are the things that you're preparing her for and what would you warn her about the industry?
Oh, we talk all the time. We talk all the time. She was on set. True story. My daughter was on set. She's like, yo, dad. You know, when she told her mom, she told Joy, she was like, you know, Joy called me and she was like, talk to her about the importance of, like, how when you're doing a movie, that even though, like, you're on the set with other people and you're playing friends in the movie, doesn't necessarily mean y'all gonna be best of friends out of the movie, right? Mm-hmm. So I had to call and, you know, give her some advice. She's like, but dad, I don't get it. Like, I don't understand it. Like, if we're friends in the movie, should we be best friends? I'm like, nah, baby, don't work like that. So
sound like me when I went to Love and Hip Hop. Are we still fighting for real?
You know, you're there for a job, right? You got paid to do what you've been casted to do, which is be your best, act your butt off.
Have chemistry.
Right?
Yeah.
Do your thing, what you're good at. You're great at it. And
then get your check and go home. And
did it. And I said, there's sometimes where you might meet up and y'all might end up doing another project. Dad has done that too. You know, I've worked with, you know, the same actors and actresses twice before, right? And it happens. But over time, chemistry will build. And yeah, you will meet some other people along the way who you'll, it will be friendship outside mm-hmm. of the set, right? It'll happen. But for me, what I tell her is if she's ever, well, not now, because she kills her reads now when she goes on tape, it's crazy. But before, I would just always tell her, like, yo, you a moss. Like, I always instill confidence in my daughter, right? And I'm gonna do the same with my little man. It's just to instill the confidence. I feel like confidence is so key, especially in a young woman. And the thing that I always tell her is you can do anything you want to do. And I tell her, you a moss. Like, what you mean? You're a part of me. Mm-hmm. We don't fold for nothing. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, yo, they talk about that all the time. Don't change nothing. And we mentally strong. I always instill a little toughness, confidence, and I always tell her, man, this is what we do. This is like, now I can't tell her nothing. Like, I hit her one time and said, baby, what you doing? She hit me back and said, daddy, I'm gonna say I can't talk right now. I'll hit you back later. And I was like, oh, hell no. Like, hold up.
She got priorities. She's working.
I get it, but it threw me off. I had to adjust. You know what I'm saying? I had to adjust. But the things I warn her about too is the fact that, you know, everybody's not gonna be your friend. You're gonna run into, you know, a lot of things. And for me, being a father, I'm a protector from a lot of it. You know, and there's gonna be some things that I probably can't be there for at that time because dad is still out here working too. So, but she's prepared, man. Her mom is doing a wonderful job.
And how do you guys master co-parenting? Because the one thing I never see
easy.
Is I don't see you all.
Oh,
having,
me and Joy. Oh man.
Like you and Joy.
It's my dog.
I've never met her. She's very beautiful. And then Nick and Mariah, like everything
it's my
works.
Dog. That's my dog. Joy is my dog. So proud of her. Like, it takes time. You know, like that's why I can't wait to put out my last album, Jay. You know, because I talk.
This is where you're talking about all your exes, right?
Nah, I scratched that one. We're gonna leave that one.
Why?
On. It's not really important. This one is more important.
I want to know about the birthday cake Keisha threw at you. Like, I want to hear that on a song.
See, I would have probably left that one off. I probably would have left that one off.
Oh,
but I'm just, it's easy, man. I think with time, you know, not everything is perfect in the beginning, but as we grow and we mature, and you know, no one likes drama.
And then on top of that, your daughter, she's old enough to see it all now. So she'll be on set at Disney where I know she has a job or something. And she'll be seeing it on TikTok or something.
Yeah. So me and Joy like this. Call me just because if she's bored, same way. That's my dog for life. And she know I'll do anything for her. That's my home. Like that's
my
home.
But she has a kid now by Future, right?
Correct, correct, correct.
And so now I'm gonna leave that alone.
No, it's all. It's
well,
family.
No,
it's
because
family.
I mean, she's been able to figure out good co-parenting with you, clearly a support system.
Absolutely.
You guys are raising a star. She's a product of being parented properly, you can tell. And then Future's typically not present from what we see with some of his kids.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
But. Would you support her other kid the same way you support your daughter with her?
Absolutely. Hell yeah, because you gotta think, and that was a question I asked Jermaine, right? Because Jermaine has the same exact situation, right? He has Shania, but Shania has a sister. And, you know, Shania's sister is always around, right? So I would always ask Jermaine for that type of advice. Like, you know, I know it's going to be a time where I go to the house and maybe pick up Shia and her little brother might want to come too. How does that work? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Asking that?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Like, what's the boundaries? Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm coming to you because, you know, Jermaine's my father figure anyway. So I'll come to him for that type of advice. But I look at it like when the kids are involved, it's just a positive situation. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I think if it's all about the kids, it's family orientated. And you know, I'm prepared for whatever it is in the future that I'm supposed to be prepared for as far as my duty as being the best dad that I can be. So if that's, you know, Shy is 17 years old and her little brother's 9, he wanna roll, he wanna go to Six Flags, and we have no problem. Let's pack it up and let's move. You know, at the end of the day, it is family. And that's her brother, and that's her sister.
Wait, so speaking of exes, so I remember you hid Kim Kardashian because she wasn't black. But now that she's getting divorced, would you let her shoot her shot at you, or would you try to?
Nah.
No, you're over that.
Nah, I'm in a different space. Like I told one of my boys this, right? I remember years ago. I said, yo, it's hard for me to, like, if I break up with a woman, or not just me, right? Let's just say if the relationship fails. I've never been the type of dude to go back.
I don't go back either. Like you did that, the chapter's done.
Agreed.
You learn and move on.
I feel like, you know, I look back at my life like, man, I'm blessed. I met some great people along the way. But it's time for me to continue on moving forward and forward my life. So I never go back.
Okay, so you just had the baby by the model. What was her name again?
Olivia.
Olivia. Now, did we even know y'all were dating?
Y'all weren't supposed to know.
But that's the problem that I have. Okay, so you have a girl. You clearly have a conversation that you're going to raw dog it because you're not going to wear a condom.
I mean, there's no conversation. If you're dating somebody, you're seeing somebody.
Do you wear condoms?
Of course.
I mean, not everybody does. I asked my friend the other day, does he wear condoms? He said, what is that?
You need to tell him, you need to check himself. He tripping.
So, but when you guys are intimate and you know there's a possibility that she can get pregnant, you clearly have invested enough in the relationship for the possibility to happen.
I feel like as a man, when, you know, if you know what you're doing and you're dating somebody or you're with somebody who you feel is special, then of course, if you know what you're doing, as adults, we know what we're doing.
Yeah. Right?
So for me, I never shied away from it. I never... And I think why it was such a shock to people was because it, to me, I'm like, once again, just like the boat, I'm like, I'm living my life. Why do I feel like I should tell everyone I have a baby? You know what I'm saying?
Well,
that's how
that was a shock. But the fact that you didn't allow us to do our jobs, that was a problem for me. But the other thing, too, is you date a lot of famous girls. Like, we know you in a lot of famous relationships.
That's true.
And so she wasn't somebody that we knew.
No, not at all. But I'm glad, though, because... it gives me a sense of peace. You know what I mean? Like, this was probably like one of the smoothest, coolest, calmest. And it wasn't like anything was hidden. It was just during the pandemic. You know, it just, you know, it was just planned at I guess, the right time.
Was it planned or the pandemic, y'all in the house all day anyway, and there's nothing to do
with it? No, I knew it for some time. It was before the pandemic. Okay. It wasn't like no hookup situation thing. Like that. No.
And you guys are cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the thing about you, your genes are so strong, you can never say these kids are not yours. All your kids look exactly like you.
Absolutely. No, I mean, and you know what, for me, you think my genes are strong like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, Shia.
Your son looks just like you.
And then Shia looks like me at like 13.
Yeah.
For me, not having my father in my life, you know what I'm saying, and knowing what that felt like and knowing the things that I, you know, still suffer from like now to this day, mm-hmm. Because I feel like I'm cursed, right, in ways because I didn't have my father around to teach me the things that I would have loved him to be around.
What curse?
Just to hear from your father how to, the things that a young man growing up should want to hear from their dad as far as, you know, hold the door open for the lady, you know, bow when women do this, you know what I mean? Just giving me the game that a father's supposed to give. Mm-hmm. I'm cursed as far as from that. You know what I mean? I had to learn from Jermaine, Snoop, Nelly. I had to learn from multiple male figures.
Absolutely. Men around you, though.
Absolutely. So, you know, I had to learn from all these guys. Instead of learning from somebody who, you know, brought me into the world, I just feel like that would be a different type of energy hearing it from him. So for me, I never shy away from anything that I do. And, you know, I love my kids, man. And you know, I only have two. And that's all. That's
but your dad didn't give that to you, but how did you get it to give to them?
Because I knew what I wanted from him. Mm. So by me knowing what I wish, you know, he could have told me, I just instilled that in them. Mm-hmm. You know, I wish that, you know, my pops could have seen certain things or, you know, just enjoyed the life with me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And for me, it's the same thing I'm going to do with my little man. Before I was bad, I was playing rec ball, football, all that out. Wanted my dad to be, you know, right there and cheering at the fence, running along if I'm, you know, caught an interception or whatever. But being that I know what it's like to not have that for my little man to grow up and if he play for, like, I can't wait. Like, I can't wait for that moment when I get to have finally something to do on Saturday if I ain't working. Mm-hmm. Pop Warner football. I'm pulling up. All the homies. Gotta watch him do his thing. He better score. Mm-hmm. I'm the crazy dad that's going to be... grabbing the helmet, bringing it close. Yeah. Man, listen, like, I can't wait. Like, that's the thing that all young boys wish they had when it came to their pops. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, by me missing that, not having it, I know how to give it to them.
So did having a son change you?
No, but having my daughter did. Mm. Having my daughter definitely changed me. The perspective on women and how and how to talk. You know, my daughter made me more like, mm-hmm. So, like, say, if I had company over, I'm more of the...
Company or girl?
Huh?
Company or a girl? Because we're company. You mean, like, if you have a girl?
Oh, yeah, a girl.
Okay.
So it's like I do it them different. It's like I'm more caring, mm-hmm. right? It's, you know, you want something to drink, do you, or hit me when you get home, let me know you safe. I'm damn near about to say you hit me when you get in the lobby, right, so I know right, you right. safe. Like I'm, and I'm like, damn, this is stuff that I, you know, hit dad when you, like, I just don't know. It just changed my way. It made nurturing. Me a little softer. Yeah, more nurturing and more caring, yeah.
But it ain't got to be softer. That's the problem with RP. Our community, black people, we feel like we're soft if we show love.
Nah, it's
and
definitely.
I think that comes from a place where we don't get the love we need growing up. Yeah. And so in turn, we're trained not to give love or it's weird when we're giving love.
Yeah, you know? You can look at it that way. You can look at it that way. Yeah, people look at it that way too. Mm.
Damn, so much going on in your world. Do you like being a celebrity? Like, there's some people that they like what comes with in terms of all the opportunities, but like they don't like the
man. Jay, I don't
because like we live in your life.
I feel like, bro, to be I can't even make this up. I honestly feel as though I'm just me. Like I can't like 9 times out of 10, when I get posted on blogs or anything like that, do you know how I usually find out?
How
my boys. And if they were here right now, you know what they'll say?
What?
Val could be right here. We could be gambling, playing 2K. The whole crib, we chilling, going crazy, gambling. One of my boys might be like, oh, damn, did you check Hollywood Unlocked? And I can be like, no. What happened? Oh, that's crazy. Yep. Unpause the game, bro. Like, and go right back into it. And if he was here, they'll say, "That's I swear to God, that's Val. That's how he's always, like, he
You just don't feed into your own hype.
All right, they're going to post something else, and then my shit's going to go down, down, down. I get how this works. I'm so used to it. So I've been famous pretty much my whole entire life. It's become the normal for me, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't really look at it that way. And I credit that to myself, but also Snoop. You know, I think Snoop is probably one of the illest and most realest down-to-earth icons walking earth to me. Like, you know what I mean? And watching him and... That's pretty much how I've gone about my life. I feel regular, bro. I still try to do regular stuff. You see, I said try, right?
But look, what is it about like the icons like a Snoop or a Mariah who I just talked to who's like super just regular? But then you get like some of the reality stars and they're like, they're y'all.
It's new. It's different from fame that you've been getting for years.
Like that gradual.
There you go.
Yeah.
To when you just now got the fame.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think even me, when I first got the fame, because when I got it, I really didn't care about it then. I was a kid. I wanted was jerseys and video games. I didn't really care about nothing. But, you know, it's just different ways you handle it, you know. And for me, like I said, when you talked about the Mirage and the Snoops, we've been doing it for so long. It's just become, we become accustomed to it. It's just the norm, you know. We've been getting spotted for so long that it's just normal for me to go get me a burger or something like that. Somebody stop me. I'm going to stop and take the picture. It's nothing. Mm-hmm. Boom. And I think that, you know, sustaining 20 years in the game plus, it'll do that to you. It'll become normal. I think that's what anything in life, you adapt, right? I think if somebody went off to a prison camp for 35 years, over course, you're going to adapt. This is going to become...
I wouldn't adapt.
I mean, I wouldn't either, but after a couple bologna sandwiches and a couple...
Your ass going to have to adapt.
Lights out, take your ass to sleep about for the next 18 years of your life. That's the new go to bed. That's your new nighttime story. Yeah. So that's how I look at anything in life, man. So, you know, that's how I do it.
Wait, so when they made you a frog, did you get on Masked Singer, did you get to choose that?
I did.
Okay, so you guys get to choose who you're going to be.
Yeah. So what they did was they sent over this, I guess you want to say like a little book, but maybe with their picks. And it was between the Moon Man and it was between the Frog. I picked the Frog for various reasons. Number one, I knew that was the one outfit throughout everybody on the show who was, it was quick and easy to get in. It was loose and I could move and I could do my thing. Plus, the Frog to me just symbolizes like the youth, the young crowd. Mm-hmm. You know, if you aim at the youngins, you got it.
Right.
So for me, it was all about just having fun. That purple outfit, I knew my daughter was going to like it. I knew the kids would like it.
Did your daughter know you were the Frog while you were going through it?
No.
Because you could tell nobody?
No.
So what I heard from Wendy said, they fly you in private. They literally, it's like crazy. Secret Service
Y'all,
type.
It's the craziest thing you'll ever see. Like, it's crazy. You got to be covered up, masked up, gloved up. You can't talk. We got shirts that say...
You mean when they get you off the plane?
Yeah. No, when they get you out the vehicle, when you pull up to the lot.
To get dressed up?
Absolutely. You got shirts that say, don't talk to me. So people know you talent, so they can't say nothing. But, you know, to the producers that are walking you on an everyday basis, they're allowed. You know what I mean? That's their job, right? Yeah. So, you know, you can,
I need some water.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Or sometimes I would just.
So like, it's literally that anymore. Private? I mean, that's.
Oh, hell yeah. It's crazy.
Is it exciting?
Hell yeah. It is. Because once again, I got a chance to do something that the people don't know me for doing. They right. don't, they know I can Harlem Shake, but they ain't know I can moonwalk like Chris Brown and side moonwalk like Ginuwine. They ain't know I can do all that. So, right. But we knew, like all my boys, my manager, everybody knew, like, nah, Bow gonna kill. Like when he got the call, my manager said, nah, you gotta do this. And I was like, man, they can sing though. Andy, like, I can't sing with these people, man. These people, man, they, nah, bro. Like, come on, bro. It's called Masked Singer. This
is
going to be
tough.
But
when you're singing, or is it like your real voice
oh,
singing
hell
through?
Hell yeah.
And so you have to carry
bro, we
some.
Had coaches.
Yeah.
This was the first time I worked with a for real deal vocal coach.
Like to you sing.
Said, I was singing my ass off, though.
Yeah.
I made it to the finals, so it worked. But, yeah, that's what made it so exciting. I got a chance to be shy. Like, I didn't have to be the cool rapper. It wasn't about being cool. It was about having fun and being silly and doing the stuff that I do in the crib. Mm-hmm. And it's like, don't do that on Fox. Go there and do that.
How different was it performing for the world and them seeing your talent without knowing who you were? Like,
in terms- I loved it. It gives you more confidence. Mm-hmm. You can't see my facial expressions. You know, when I'm hitting them moves, you know how them dancing, you're making mm-hmm. them crazy faces. Mm-hmm. Nobody can see it. You feel invincible. Nobody knows it's you. And you just let loose and just cut up. You know what I mean? And that's all the celebrities that get a chance to be a part of this show. And that's the one thing that they love to do and they say is the freedom, man. Mm-hmm. Like, I learned a lot about myself when I did that. Mm-hmm. I'm like, man, like things that I was really scared to do. Like, I did that. Like, you know, validation. Like, we were talking about earlier. Like, man, damn, I shocked myself. Like, I knew I was a bad motherfucker. Mm-hmm. Like, I knew I was bad. I knew I was entertained. But, yeah. But this.
Because you had that, you were like free, like the inhibition.
Dog, I never knew I would make it that far to the finals. I ain't never right. made it to the finals of no competition ever in my life.
Can I just throw one thing out there?
Yeah.
And the crazy part is, and I know people are going to get mad at me for saying this, you know, that show is mainstream America rooting you on, too.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of the people that come for you are our people.
You look at it that way.
So I hope that people get, like, we should be cheering louder for our people than those people.
We all should. I mean, absolutely. I mean, me and my mom, we talk about, you know, this stuff all the time. You know, but I just, it goes back. You know what I think it is, though? It goes back to just being the culture shifter. You know, mm-hmm. Black Twitter. You know what I mean? We are the culture shifters.
What do you think about Black Twitter?
It's entertaining. I hate that it's got to be called Black Twitter, though, because mm-hmm. it's like, you know what I mean? It's like, why does it have to be called Black Twitter? But understand why we're the culture. We're the ones coming up with the memes. We're the ones coming up with the jokes. You know what I'm saying? We're the ones that come up with the fashion, how we rock, how we dress, how we talk. You know what I mean? I get it, but I love Black Twitter. I think it's entertaining. You know, I like to laugh sometimes. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I kick back, relax, and get on Twitter and see what's trending. And glad it ain't me today. That's what I do. It ain't bad.
I'm not active on Twitter, but everybody, all my staff say, like, you got to get on Twitter because everything.
You're not on Twitter?
No, if I get those tweets to me, when I get tweeted negative, I want to burn the internet down.
So I'm like, you know what?
I'm gonna just stay away from y'all because if y'all black asses come at me, I'm gonna fuck y'all up.
Nah, but you gonna have to fuck up a lot of motherfuckers.
No, I know, but then I'll just be fucking them up all day. That's what I'm saying. I won't be here. I'll be fucking people up on Black Twitter.
But see, that's when you gotta just clock into your world. Like, that's what be helping me out, right? Like, when say for instance, if, you know, when cats troll me or whatever, bro, I just look at my life, bro, and it helps me get through all the time. I'm like, yo, this shit gonna pass over. I'm blessed. Like, I look around, like, yo, I'm really blessed. I got two healthy kids. I get to wake up, do what I want. I get to, you know, I call the shots and I get stuff sent to us daily. You know what I mean? No, Andy, I don't want to do that. Yes. I get to pick and choose. Like, this is a blessing. So when I look at my phone and I'm, oh, they said what? I did what? Oh, I fell through the stage today in Philly. I did that, but cool. Let's count up. Like, yeah. You know, I go back to my life, man, and it's a blessing. And, you know, and I understand everybody can't do that, but that's what helps me and you blessed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You own your shit. You working. You a boss yourself. So you got motherfuckers hating on you that trying to get to where you at right now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I look at it like that, like, whatever. Now just get back in my life.
That, yeah, you, I mean, you're on a larger scale because of you've been in the business for a long time. You know, everybody knows you. I mean, they know me, but they know you. Like, you can't go walk and get a burger without somebody knowing you. I can go get a burger.
I can, though.
Can you?
I wear my mask, Jason.
Speaking of masks, so the Masked Singer, so now you're doing this partnership with Fox and iHeart, the Masked Singer. Is it an after show?
Yeah, so it's the official Masked Singer podcast that we do. We're in season two right now, which is another blessing just to be a part of that Fox umbrella. Mm-hmm. You know, it just let me know you ain't got to win the actual trophy to actually win still. Mm-hmm. I was hurt when I didn't win. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. My manager, you know, Andy can tell you I was hurt. I was, oof.
What you really wanted to?
Absolutely. Oh man, yes. It became more important than tour rehearsals. Mm-hmm. I mean, like it just. I wanted to do it. I wanted to prove to Americans and the world that I can do anything. I want to be the ultimate entertainer. I don't want to be the best rapper, the best actor. I want to be the all around best entertainer.
But you've proven that already. I think with
so much
when, like when 106, when I thought when Terrence J left, I was like, oh, it's a wrap.
Nah, but there's more to go.
Yeah,
there's more to go. You know what I'm saying? It's so much more to go.
In terms of proving yourself to yourself?
That and to the world. Mm-hmm. You know, just to, you know, instill that thing in them that, listen, I'm one of a kind, mm-hmm. you know, and without me even saying it, but, you know, I want to be remembered as, you know, one of the greatest entertainers, all around entertainers mm-hmm. that have ever done it. You know, that's my ultimate goal. But yeah, to touch back on the podcast, you know, like I said, I just feel good to be a part of the Fox umbrella. They saw something in me, you know, by me participating in season three of The Masked Singer, going to the finals. They really loved me, and they loved the character. And, you know, they came down and met with me, and I knew from then, once that moment, after that show, the finale, that something big would be brewing with me. And, mm-hmm. and this is just the start with Fox. Mm-hmm. You know, I really feel like in the future I'll be able to call this place home, and we're going to cook up some big things in the future. And I'm happy with this. With the podcast, they let me listen. Masked Singer is the biggest show on TV.
Well, not to mention like you hosting the podcast and Nick hosting the show.
It's dope.
Successful black men leading the way.
It's dope, and I look at this as this is the stepping stone to something big later down the road with Fox, and they're embedded in me, and I'm embedded with them. Mm.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think, like I said, I saw, and we've all seen, I mean, you doing your thing and hosting for a long time. Yeah. I mean, your personality is crazy when you turn it on, when you have a job to do. So I think it makes sense. And I'm a part of iHeart and Fox, so they're definitely two good homes to be in.
Absolutely.
So what's next? I mean, when are you going to write a dirty tell-all book about, like we got good, clean Bow Wow today or Shad? You want to go
you don't
out
even, I was about to say, you don't even know which one it is.
No,
you
that's what I'm saying. Like, is Bow Wow the troublemaker on Black Twitter, or is...
That's a good question.
You know what I mean?
That's a good question.
Because we did have a FaceTime call one day that I wish... See, I think our best conversation could be just the conversation when we think nobody's listening. We'll put that out. Because you literally are funny. You're spicy.
Hey, you know what?
You're there's a whole bunch of different versions of you.
I'm a Pisces. So we all over. You don't know what you're gonna get. But I can differ for you. Bow is easy. Bow, okay, so Bow Wow is the cocky, arrogant rapper, turned up, having fun, ladies man, that's Bow. That's Bow Wow. The rap star, that's Bow, right? Shad is more of the at the crib, cooking tacos.
Father,
calm, cool, collective. The more woosah, like one. Like he's the, I'm chilling. Bow, you want to go out tonight? Nah, I'm cooling, bro. I'm tired. I'm just going to kick back and chill. That's Shad.
Like, when do you decide to turn one or the other on or off?
Oh, it's a switch. It's a switch. For instance, if my boy BT came in the crib and was like, yo, dog, we going out tonight, man. Call Mario, man. Tell him to go ahead and shine up the Bentley, man. You know what I'm saying? It's one of them type of nights, bro. We about to go out there. Or it's like that, man. Look, man, they all just came in town. Let's go. Oh, man, we need to take some shots. Look, let's go. Like, activated. Bow, gone.
So Shad went to sleep.
Shad is Dog, I'm tired, bro. I just got back in town. Dog, I'm trying to really sleep, like, for the next 3 days.
See,
cool,
I know you just had a birthday, so I know you're a Pisces, but that's more Gemini-ish to me.
Really?
You know, yeah, like, my friend here, you're Gemini's, the bipolarism of it all, it's just, it's a lot.
It's Bow Wow and then it's Shy, and then, you know, that's them.
All right, so I guess what I want to leave on, when we leave on legacy, I know I talk about a book, but like we leave on legacy, like what is the legacy of Bow Wow Shad Moss going to be?
It's going to be a guy who really was the only child star to really be in the game for 50 plus years. And then, you know, you got to deal with his daughter for the next probably 65, 70 years.
And just keep it going.
And just keep it going. You know what I mean? I want my legacy to be, damn, he did that. At the end of the day, he did that. He gave us movies that we can cherish forever. He gave us movies that we can hold close to our heart. He gave us hit records. He gave us tours. He really gave us everything that a superstar is supposed to give us. He did that. He left nothing on the table, you know? And even once I feel like that, I'm gonna still feel like there's more on the table for me to go get. It's never enough, you know what I mean? There's no limitation on how great you can be. There's no limitation on how much money you can make. There's no limitation on how much you wanna accomplish in life. So many things that I want to do that I haven't done yet. But I'm blessed. I've seen more than enough. You know, if somebody told me, could you just chill right now for the next 40 years, I'd be like, yep, and I could be comfortable. Mm-hmm. Like, I could be comfortable with that. Like, hell yeah, I'm good. Like, yo, I brought Madonna out on the fucking Grammys, dog. Like, I met Barack Obama and got invited to the White House. Like, this is mind-blowing to me. Like, I've done songs with Beyonce. I've done songs with, like, I flew in the air. I was Michael. I was like what do you want me to do? I've skated. What do you want me to do? I've done everything.
I thought you were going to say, what do you want from me? Who did that online?
That was my bro. My Fast Nine bro. Tyrese. Yeah. Speaking of Fast Nine, you know, I got Addis in there. We got Fast Nine coming out.
That's what I'm saying. I'm back everywhere.
I'm everywhere. I'm doing this shit that Jason, like, honestly, I'm back doing this shit that Bow Wow was supposed to be doing. I think what changed me around was guidance, was cats in the game that really came to me. Like Puff, you know, one time I was at his house. I know we about to wrap it up or whatever, but I was at Puff's house, and I remember him having this conversation. And I said this publicly already. It was already in the media or whatever. He was pulled me to the side and was like, when you gonna stop doing this clown shit? You ain't no fucking clown. Motherfucker, you done sold out the Garden. Motherfucker doing, I came to your movie premieres, brought my kids to your shit. Motherfucker, you a movie star, you a host, you a rap star, you a, motherfucker, you around us. Yeah, my shit. Like, you people can't call me, you can call me. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't deal with clown shit. So what you gonna do? You gonna clean it up? Well, you're going to keep doing this because you don't even need to be doing this to get no attention. Mm-hmm. And when he said those, and that's what an OG poster do. Mm-hmm. And when he said that to me, I was like, damn, man. I don't really value what Bow Wow really, what that name really means. I got to step back and really.
What you built.
Yeah, I got to step back and really look at this shit. And when I stepped back and looked at it, then my Uncle Snoop, the cats that I can get on the phone that, I'm looking at cats who, you know, trolling and looking for extra attention. Who these dudes want on? They don't want to be around them dudes. So if they don't want to be around them, I don't need them to start looking at me like I'm trying to be that, and I'm deteriorating the brand. Mm-hmm. So I had to get smart and really understand. Like, okay, now I'm starting to really get my flowers. Now everybody's seeing what Drizzy said, and before that, Tory Lanez said something real dope about me, and just seeing all these different artists just showing me all this type of love and reaching out, and then the internet just take a twist in this. Bow Wow appreciation, like, all right, man, your slate is clean now. Don't we? Let's keep it here, bro. We only rock. We fuck with you. And we troll you because you mean that much to us, mm-hmm. and we don't. That's not how we look at our hero. Like, you know what I'm saying? Our childhood, the motherfucker who really captivated that era. You supposed to keep doing the movies. You supposed to still be shining, doing what you're doing. So, I feel good. I'm back, focused. You see me with Fox. We got Fast Nine coming out. Oh, by the way. You know, we got I'm everywhere. You said I'm everywhere. I'm everywhere.
I've been seeing those. Those are yours?
These are mine, man. Big deal with Red by Kiss. Number one men's brand in the hair market.
I need you to come out with beard oil. I can't find beard oil from
For real? I got some. I'm going to get you straight.
Okay.
I got you.
Well,
so everything,
I don't know
bro.
If you're going to get me straight. Cause...
All right, Jay. Yeah, well, I understand. I got you.
Kind of happily out there.
I got you, bro.
Okay, wait. Got to ask you, because, you know, you've been around for a minute.
Okay.
The Grammys. Megan Thee Stallion won 3 Grammys. Do you think that she deserved all 3?
You know what? It's hard to... I ain't going to front, bro. To me, honestly, it's hard to say, because, like, when shit like this pops up, I watch everybody's opinions about things. But I like to put myself in everybody's position. Like, if I'm Megan Thee Stallion, hell yeah, I deserve these motherfuckers. Because we don't...
And it's great for her that she got them.
Right. And it's like, who are we to say she don't really deserve it? Like, you talking about somebody who probably, not even probably, I'm sure, listen, when you at the top of your game, you have a number one hit records, your presence is requested. She grinding, working hard, and a woman too. In a male-dominated business, but the women for the past couple of years have been doing their thing and been...
And all the while after being shot.
I ain't gonna dip into that, but, you know, but just doing her thing and you know, it's hard to say, like, because we all put in work, you know what I mean? So it's hard to just take that.
What's hard until you look at the sheet of who she's up against? When you look at the sheet and go,
See, I didn't see who was on the category.
I mean, she beat out... I don't have the sheet in front of me to even reference, but...
But I'm not going to lie, though. Like, she did have something. Like, for instance, when WAP was one of the biggest records. Like, could nobody take WAP out?
But WAP didn't win.
WAP didn't win? No. But she performed it, though.
She performed it, but, I mean, she won for the Savage remix with Beyonce. And people are... I mean, I...
Wait, hold on. But you know what? I got to give it to her, though, Jay. That Savage record was big, though.
Bigger than the one she did with Nicki?
Nicki was with Ty Dolla $ign.
They did the Savage. They did the first Savage song. She did the Savage song with Nicki.
You know, I would say, from a music standpoint, that Savage was a bigger record. TikTok, it came with a dance. That did it. That Savage was. Listen,
is that
every
what,
time
is that what makes the decisions
Jason,
now?
Jason, every time you went on TikTok. All you saw was, Shy did one. My daughter did one. That's what I knew. I'm a savage. Classy, bougie, ratchet.
Right,
That was like, that shit was monstrous. So it's she was supposed to win one for that.
But doesn't that go back to it being more about popularity than like?
That was a popular record though.
Yeah.
A popular record, right timing. I mean, that was a big fucking record. It was a big record. Now, I will say this, throughout the histories of the Grammys, we've all, even from a fan's perspective, we've all questioned it. You know what I mean? Like, even as a fan, I still wonder why 50 hasn't won one. Get Rich or Die Trying should have definitely won Best Rap Album. Snoop, my Uncle Snoop for Doggy Style.
It's crazy.
8 million copies out the gate.
Crazy.
One of the biggest, if not the biggest rap star, I would say most famous rap star to this day, worldwide on planet Earth.
Who has crossover appeal?
Man,
I mean,
what do you want him to do? He cooking with Martha. Man, Uncle Snoop can do it all.
Right.
Then you got, you know, Nicki Minaj, who I just recently found out never won one. I thought Nicki won one, and I think what confused me was the fact that Nicki has always participated at the Grammys, always had dope performances, and you know, it just I thought maybe
well, people
she
are just
won
saying
one.
People just don't like her because she's a mean girl, so it's a popularity thing. Like nobody, because they vote the Academy.
Yeah,
votes.
The Academy. I think, and I think that's you know. Listen, it's not just the Grammys. I honestly feel like, you know, when you can control things and you have power over something, you can make the show be what you want it to be, right? I mean, that's just with anything. I think if me and you owned an award show, we were the creme de la creme top of the top, I think me and you could control who we would want to win or who should we feel,
I mean, you're
right?
Producing a show.
Exactly, right? Yeah. So, but it still doesn't take away the hard work that, you know, a lot of these cats. Listen, you're going to have some people that's going to be happy. And you're gonna have some people. Everybody can't win and everybody can't lose. That's how I look at it. But you know, kudos to Megan. But I also feel like I wanna see Nicki win one too. I wanna see everybody win. But Nicki definitely is deserving of one. Nas, his was overdue. Nas should have been one. I couldn't believe this was Nas' first time ever.
Right.
But
don't it seem like they kinda gave it to him because he had to get one?
I love Nas' new album, I ain't gonna front. I think Hit-Boy did a tremendous job on that shit. That shit was hard. I love what's the name of that Nas song? Black, think, he killed that shit. I love Nas.
I mean, he's a legend.
Yeah. I love Nas, but this body of work was lit, you know what I mean? And, Nas was it was deserving, but I felt like his shit was given to him 28 years later. Like, right. Too late. 20 years too late.
All right, man, look, I appreciate you always showing love. And, you know, I actually interviewed you twice. And I still haven't interviewed Drake. I mean, you know, Drake.
It's going to happen.
Drake. No, I'm just playing.
It's going to happen,
though.
No,
I'm happy for you, man. And I'm always here to support.
Hey, man, come on, man. You already know, fam.
Appreciate you.
Yes, sir, man. Appreciate you coming to the A, man.
All right, look, that was a great show. And make sure you keep coming back because we got all types of amazing interviews and topics that are going to make you go crazy.
Uh-huh, that's right. That means like, subscribe, do everything you need to do to make sure you stay up to date with what we got going on.
And ladies, stay tuned in because you know I have your back.
And listen, make sure that you're commenting below because even though I say I don't read it on the show, that's all I do when it's over. Peace.